Alleluia, you have the words of eternal life. The Alleluia verse from Divine Service Setting 1 in the non-Lenten time. Familiar words, people know that by heart. It kind of sets apart the gospel reading from all the other readings. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. I left the listeners with a question, as well as leaving Pastor Moline a question. Again, this is At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. We're working our way through Divine Service Setting 1. We are to the readings of the church, and if you're following along in your hymnal, page 156 and 157. Pastor, what are your recollections of growing up in a non-Lutheran and, for the most part, non-liturgical church with regard to the readings? Do you know where they came from or how they were selected? Did they follow the generic Protestant series of readings that came about after Vatican II, or did they do something different?
Well, the readings and the liturgy in the Disciples of Christ Church that I went to, at that time, the Disciples of Christ was still more of a liturgical liberal church, and so they had a liturgy. They didn't really know why, and they didn't know what its purpose was. The readings themselves were more selected generally by the pastor to fit in with whatever theme he was preaching on that week, and that varied a little bit pastor to pastor. Our first pastor, Tom Osborne, I think, he did more of the worship service according to I think he matched more with a three-year lectionary. Later pastors then, I think, did more themes. I can remember talking about sermons where it was about riding your bike in the mountains and seeing the sunrise or the sunset, and how did that make you feel? And so I can't recall what all those scripture readings were, because they don't really fit into anything that scripture really talks about. It was more about what's your emotional state? How do your emotions define how you interpret something the scripture might says? And just by having that way to interpret scripture, how do you feel? You're automatically going to focus on some particular scriptures and not other ones, because the goal is to make you feel good about who you are and how you're living your life. And there are some scriptures that lend themselves to that better than others, that tell you you're a sinner and you need God to forgive you your sin. And so just by the theology and the way that scripture lessons are picked, it defined what scripture readings were used in that church body.
It's pretty hard to make the jump from riding your bicycle in the mountain and watching the sunrise or sunset to the death and resurrection of Jesus for you for the forgiveness of sins. So you can see why that's kind of a big leap, and why some churches that are more focused on either reason or emotion or feelings sometimes don't quite get around to Jesus. It's very sad, but it's very real. And, you know, in this day and age where you can get on the computer, the internet, social media, you can listen to pretty much any church, any sermon, any pastor throughout the world, and check it out. We're not making this stuff up. This is the reality that is out there.
And it's been in the Lutheran church too. There was a time where many Lutheran sermons would be about things very practical, like how do you plant your potatoes to get the best yield? And so even in our own church body, Lutheranism as a wide picture there, not necessarily the Missouri Synod, we've had to repent of our preaching not about Christ and reading scripture lessons not about Christ. And that's part of how the Missouri Synod comes into existence, is let's return to actually what's really important, which is Christ and his word, and focusing on that.
And I think that's a very valid point that you bring out. You know, the Orthodox Church, and I'm not talking about big O Orthodox, but small O right teaching church, is constantly battling on one side pietism, which is all about feelings, and on the other side, rationalism, which is all about making things fit. It's got to be reasonable. And so it's easy to fall into one ditch or the other, and having a set of readings established for you helps you. Doesn't completely prevent it, because we're sinners, but it helps you to stay out of the error on either side of the ditch, which would be pietism and rationalism. And there's a whole rich history of Lutheranism that goes all the way back to the very beginning in that. I want to talk now about the structure of how the readings are about. And if you look on page 156 of LSB, it says Old Testament or first reading, psalm or gradual, epistle or second reading, alleluia and verse, and we've been hearing the alleluia, and then the Holy Gospel. So, the structure of the readings, Pastor, starting with the Old Testament and then having a little interlude there with the psalm or a gradual, then having the epistle and then having a little interlude there with the alleluia, and then the gospel. I suppose some people might say that the gospel should come first because that's the most important. A few thoughts about the structure and why we have an Old Testament, an epistle, and a gospel, three specific readings assigned for every Sunday or major festival in the church year.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll start with the last one first. Why do we have these particular three readings? And then I can talk about why they're in the order that they're in. The reason we have these three readings is that kind of covers all the different parts of what Scripture are. And maybe it's not being fair to the Old Testament because there are multiple parts in the Old Testament. There's the Pentateuch, the first five books. There's the other writings, and then there's also the prophets. And we do have the other writings in the sense that we have psalm and gradual, and also the verse oftentimes comes from that as well. And so that's covered with that. We have the Old Testament, which is both the Pentateuch and the other writings from the Old Testament. It does occasionally have prophets in there as well, but not as often as maybe some of the other parts of Scripture. And so we have Old Testament covered. We have the epistle, which would be basically that can be any part of the New Testament that's not a gospel. So it can come from Revelation occasionally. It can come from usually Paul or Peter or John, but it can cover all the bases in that regard.
And when we hear second reading, that's when it's not one of the specific letters.
Correct.
Or epistle, like if it comes from the book of Revelation or the Acts of the Apostles.
Correct. And I think there's occasions, too, when one of those might also fall into the first reading slot on some festivals.
It's rare in the one-year series. It's quite common in the three-year series.
So we have that. We have epistles, which would be any other part of the New Testament, essentially, except for the gospel. And then we also have the gospel, which is the most important part because that's where Christ is being revealed and what he is and what he does. And so we have one of those each week. And that way we're covering all the different parts of God's word, Scripture, that are proclaimed. And they're usually together because they're all teaching the same thing. And so we find an Old Testament that teaches the same thing that the gospel is. And we find an epistle lesson that's teaching the same thing the gospel is. Now, we put them in this particular order because the one that is most important to us is that gospel lesson. In fact, that's part of our reverent worship, is that we stand up for the reading of the gospel, being glad to hear God's word, and out of respect and honor for who Jesus is. We also have the alleluia and the verse that we sing before that, and also then it changes our response. We say, this is the gospel this is the gospel of our Lord, and we reply, praise to you, O Christ. We have that choral interlude on either side. So that's giving honor and respect to the most important of the readings, which is the gospel lesson. And for that reason, it also comes last, because that's the one that the sermon is going to be based on. That's the one that's most important. And so we save that so that we can see how all of them ultimately lead and flow into that particular Scripture lesson. The Old Testament and the epistle, then, we do them in that order because that's the order they appear in the Scripture lessons, knowing then that the gospel is the most important of them.
So we have this rhythm and flow, we have this structure back and forth, and while the gospel reading is most often preached on, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the sermon part, even when the pastor decides to preach on one of the other readings, the Old Testament, the epistle, the gradual, the psalm of the day, the introit, whatever, that gospel reading is still driving the theme for all of the other readings. And I was told years ago that when the lectionaries were put together, that the gospel was chosen first, and then all the other readings were chosen to match or to correlate in some way, shape, or form with that theme. So in that respect, even if the gospel is not being preached on, it is still driving the car with regard to the theme of the day and the message of the day and all that kind of stuff.
I want to point out, too, then, we have psalms already that we've sung in the introit, and then the gradual and the verse oftentimes reflect a psalm as well. And so we also have that part of the scripture that are a part of the service, even if they don't fit perfectly into these three categories at this time.
Now, we are free. Well, we don't have to bind ourselves to a lectionary system. We don't have to do any of this stuff. What God's Word tells us, though, is the importance of reading the Scriptures in the divine service. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul writes to young Pastor Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to comforting, to the teaching activity." And so God is directing not only Timothy through Paul, but all Christian churches and all pastors who fall in the line of Timothy, and that's every Christian pastor, to have a prominent part of the worship service be the public reading of Scripture. And so this is not an option with regard to reading the Scriptures in public and then teaching and expounding upon those Scriptures. Exactly what form or order we use, we're free in that respect. Now, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have voluntarily given up some of that freedom, and we have said that we are going to follow and use the worship resources that we have, and that we're going to follow. We're going to use a hymnal, we're going to use an agenda, we're going to use one of these two sets of readings. Again, Pastor, in the time that we have left, why is that important for both preacher and hearer?
Well, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial, and there's the important thing to keep in mind. What are the benefits of us having a uniform scripture lesson and reading across the bounds? What's the benefit of us having a liturgy across the board? And that is that even if I am in North Carolina, I have the opportunity to hear the piece of God's word appointed for that particular day at the church in North Carolina instead of North Nebraska. And that allows me then to continue on and hearing all the different parts of God's word without missing a section. It's also beneficial for your pastor, who can read preachers that are actually good preachers throughout all the history of the church, all the way back from St. John Chrysostom and John of Damascus to Luther to Walther to even some of the ancient preachers as well. We have an opportunity to see what they said about a particular text and bring that into our preaching here and now, so that we're making sure that the church has one united voice in the way that it handles all of these particular scripture lessons. We set aside our freedom then for the benefit of the hearer, so that that hearer can hear all the different parts of God's word, no matter where they are and when they are there. And that's a blessing for the church at large.
And we believe, teach, and confess that there is power in the Word of God to both convict the hearer of their sin and to convert the hearer with faith to believe the gospel, the good news that Christ has bled and died for them. And that is the ultimate one voice from all 66 books of the Holy Scripture. We need to take a break. This is At Home in Your Hymnal. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the specifics with regard to the Old Testament reading, the Epistle reading, and the Gospel reading. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.